Welcome to Sourcing Enterprise AI, a podcast by Upper Edge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. I'm John Belden, Chief Strategy and Research Officer.
And I'm Kylie Chisholm, Upper Edge's Content Marketing Manager. Join us every other week as we explore the impact of artificial intelligence and the critical issues IT decision makers and sourcing professionals will face.
The AI market is just in its infancy with new capabilities, new vendors, and a new competitive landscape and a boatload of risk. In each episode, we'll do a deep dive into a particular AI topic and explore the latest news releases and their potential impact on the market.
Empower your AI decision-making with vendor insights and fact-based sourcing strategies. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Hi, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Kylie. Great. The sun's shining here today.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we'll take that, especially in the winter months. So I'm very excited for this episode. We have another guest episode, which I think will be great. If you guys listened to the last episode, we talked about OpenAI, and we really kept it at a high level. But if you've been following the news, you know that Microsoft is a huge player in the whole OpenAI debacle, for lack of a better term. And so we wanted to bring on our in-house Microsoft expert, our Microsoft practice leader, Adam Mansfield, to talk more about Microsoft specifically. That's something that we haven't talked about yet on this show. And they are obviously trying to position themselves as a major leader in the AI space, especially with their Microsoft 365 Copilot product. So, John, do you want to get us started introducing our guests?
Yeah, sure, Kylie. Yeah, I'm happy Adam's agreed to join us today. Adam and I have been working together now at Upper Edge for about 10 years. So we've known each other for quite a long time, and Adam and me, I may have gone all the way back to AMR. I'm not sure, but I seem to remember Adam's background there yet. But Adam is a practice leader for Upper Edge. I know he has multiple practices, but Adam, if you can introduce yourself, take a little bit of time, talk to the people about, you know, kind of what your practice does and what we offer to clients before we get started.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, always nice to chop it up with you, John. I know we've had a chance to do this behind the scenes, so to speak, on camera, third-party publications. It's always a good time to chat. I always look forward to it, even if it's maybe on things like Walking Dead and others. But yeah, so I lead our Microsoft practice. That's why I'm here, by way of some further background. I've been here at Upper Edge since the inception of the company back in 2010 with our CEO, David Blake. Prior to that, John, you do have a really good memory. I was involved when we were at AMR Research. I was there, and you were actually a client of ours. So yeah, that was many, many years ago. But it was great working you in that capacity. At Upper Edge, I also lead our Salesforce and ServiceNow practice with dedicated teams across those three vendors. The easiest way I can put this is we empower customers of those three vendors to ensure that they have a handle on the current relationship they have in place. So is it with the right people? Does it have the right pricing? Does it have the right flexibility, the right attention, the right investments? It also ensures that when you're in the midst of a negotiation, whether it's adding product in term, which Microsoft very much wants their customers to do, or at your renewal, which whether it's Microsoft, Salesforce, or ServiceNow, you will have a renewal and that you have to prepare for. So we help them prepare for that. We arm them with their strategy, what's actual leverage, what isn't, what to focus on, what you should be paying, what it looks like for other customers right now, what matters most to these vendors at that point in time. And ultimately, we become a part of the team, right? Because we are truly buy-side advocates. And that's the thing I'm most proud about. And so when we talk today, right, I'm excited because I'm bringing a lens into what I actually see, what Upper Edge sees is going on, not just what you're reading about or Microsoft's press releases. It's actual in the trenches. How are they approaching the customers, the people that are listening to this podcast?
So that's I think that's a great introduction, Adam, and it's a service that we provide to our clients for other other software products as well. But Adam's, as he indicated, you know, his main focus and his team's focus is in one of the areas is in Microsoft. That's why I'm really excited to talk. So let me just get into this the whole subject of Microsoft Copilot. You know, I've been hearing about Copilot for about a year, right? I mean, in various forms. And, you know, it's been, I read a blog the other day. I think it was one of the senior VPs at Microsoft kind of talking about, well, it's been around for a year. You know, I think it comes in various forms and various disguises. So maybe we can get started by just talking to, you know, our listeners about what is Microsoft Copilot?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's the question I get most often, even with all the material out there, right? They want to know, right? What actually is this? So a couple things. It's actually really interesting to start with this. So when they announced Microsoft 365 Copilot, that was back in, I call it July, they made their big announcement. It was at their annual Inspire conference. Since then, they've actually already renamed it. Right. And if you go and Google it, or Microsoft won't want you to do that, but if you go and Bing it, or if you go and try to look this up, it's now Copilot for Microsoft 365. It actually came through their most recent product terms document. So all you Microsoft customers, I love, or you probably love looking at those product term documents that are 100 pages long that come out every month. So yeah, they've already renamed it. At the time of the announcement back in July, it was not yet generally available. And this is the thing, right? In terms of when did they actually start releasing it? Well, there was an early access program that was invite only, which I'd love to talk more about. I think we probably will. Copilot for Microsoft 365 became actually called generally available November 1st. So about a month ago. And then if you really want to kind of define what it is, I guess simply put, it's generative AI that's built into the Microsoft 365 bundle that can act as almost a virtual assistant. And the pitch here is it's going to increase efficiency and productivity. They use the LLM, right, language models, to integrate into the data that the customer has. And most often it's used, when you think Microsoft 365, it's used with things like Teams, Word, Outlook, PowerPoint, Excel. All the things that most employees at the enterprises we work with use on a daily basis, right? If you want to dig a little bit deeper, it processes the user queries or prompts through the Azure OpenAI service, right? So Kylie, to your point earlier, OpenAI, right? Azure OpenAI is based on that OpenAI's large language models. And they've made it a point, Microsoft that is, to mention that Microsoft 365 Copilot for Microsoft 365, the prompts, they don't use OpenAI's publicly available services, okay? So it's, again, it's interior to the company itself, the data that's within the company itself. If you were to go and dig into this, if you look at an announcement specifically on this point back in June, you know, they say that the Copilot experiences use the organizational content in the Microsoft 365 tenant. Right. So that's including things like the user's calendars and emails and chats and documents and meetings and contacts and more, air quotes and more. That's always an interesting one. All from within Microsoft's 365 compliance boundary, right? Copilot does not use customer data or user prompts to train the actual foundation. So again, I don't want to get much deeper into that, but I think hopefully that will help explain it. It's also important to mention that there are other copilots, right? There's Copilot in Windows. There's Copilot for Sales, which is coming out Q1 of next year. There's Copilot for Service, right? So now they're touching it to the D365 business applications. That's coming out early 2024. And the thing I would just say, and this, I think this is important as we talk today, it's always important to listen to someone like Satya, the CEO, what he's saying. And this was very telling. Customers need to be paying very close attention to this, and they probably already are. But this quote really struck me. During the recent Ignite conference, another big Microsoft conference in mid-November, Satya, when asked about it, said point blank, "We will be and are the Copilot company." And that's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a great overview. And I should also mention, I should have mentioned at the top of the episode that Adam has a really great blog on the Upper Edge website that dives really deep into Microsoft or Copilot for Microsoft 365. That we'll make sure to link in the show notes as well, because it dives even deeper into some of the background. But this was a great summary. And I do want to dig into a little bit of that early access program. So Adam, if you could speak to what that was, what that looked like before the November 1st general release.
It's a really important thing. I'm going to talk probably a fair amount about it today, right? It's a program, quite simply, that they put in place to allow them, let's just be honest here, allow them to test, and then also allow for customers that they pre-identified, that they invite only, allowed to test, and keyword here, use the Copilot for Microsoft 365, right? So it was an opportunity for these customers to come in and who were excited about it. All right, fair enough. Use it, see how it's going to work. But also, let's not forget about this. Early access programs are also very much about Microsoft learning through the process. I mentioned it was invite only. I mentioned that it was, they pre-identified. And from what we understand, they actually rolled this out to a wave of 600 customers. During the last earnings call, Satya named some of them: Bayer, KPG, Mayo Clinic, Suncorp, Visa. We've worked with many customers that were part of this early access program. I can't name them here, but we're very familiar with it. But I do want to make something clear. And those that got invited to it saw this pretty quickly, and those that maybe were upset that they didn't, this wasn't free. Okay, they had to pay for this. These customers had to pay for this. Now, a lot of this is not publicly out there, so I don't really want to give into the specifics. But I would tell you, this is not something that was like $5,000 or $10,000 or just some, you know, nominal amount of money. It was a significant one-time fee, six figures. You also had to commit to up to 300 subscriptions. That's the same part of their current program. And you had to give them a term length, right? And that's okay. I'm not so concerned about that. But it is important to just mention, right? This was definitely something that they had invite-only customers paying them. Yes, they were getting value, but Microsoft was as well. And then they made it known that, and this was also during the last earnings call, and John, you mentioned this before, you know, they were actually testing Copilot even before, right? Even before this early access program. That was back in March of this year. And I think it was like 20 enterprise customers. You know, they publicly talked about Goodyear and General Motors as two of those customers, which is interesting, right? Old school brick and mortar manufacturing companies, probably a ton of data in those companies, probably interested heavily right now in efficiencies and productivity. So I don't think that was a coincidence that they kind of early stage, pre-early access program, picked companies like that.
Yeah, you know, I think, Adam, there was, I agree with you. I mean, Microsoft was clearly getting a lot of value out of it. And I would anticipate that part of the value they were getting out of it was trying to figure out how to price it. Because, you know, the way that generative AI works and having to go back into the back end of OpenAI, right, and understanding a little bit about how this is, I'll call it, token-based pricing, right, understanding how much the client was ultimately going to be able to use the product and how much it was going to cost Microsoft, right, to deliver those services to the client had to go into figuring out the pricing on this. So, you know, what's Microsoft ultimately concluded on how they're going to charge people for this?
So if you haven't already heard this and you're listening to this podcast, I would tell you to sit down. I'd tell you to brace yourself, because the list price for, or the MS, MRSP price, however you want to call it, right? The sticker price is $30 per user per month. So that's not exactly inexpensive. And here's the part. This is the real rub. It actually gets even more expensive. You have to have an underlying subscription for either Microsoft 365 E3 and or Microsoft 365 E5. So to put that in perspective, do a little math here. And, you know, Kylie, appreciate you referencing that blog. The math is kind of put there nicely for you to look at. But list price for E3 is $36 per user per month. So if you remember what I just said, the list price to add on Copilot is almost as much as the E3 foundational product itself. But enterprises that add Copilot to their E3 subscriptions will experience an 83% uplift to that particular user's cost profile. Again, I'm using list pricing here, but you are going to have an 83% uplift to Billy's cost profile on a month-to-month basis. If I go to E5, there that means you're going to have a 53% uplift to that user profile. You should obviously be getting benefit of volume discounting. Okay, so there's the programmatic discounting, whether you're level A, B, C, or D. That comes with some additional discounting as you move up a tier. You should also likely, hopefully, getting additional discounting beyond volume discounting. And then there should be discounting that you should be achieving beyond that to give Microsoft what they ultimately want, which is use of this. I mentioned before there's a minimum. You have to have at least 300 seats or user subscriptions. So again, 5, 10, 20, dip your toe in, can't do it. This is likely not, again, going to be that much of an issue for an enterprise customer. Customers we work with that have 10,000, 20,000 users. You probably can come up with a subset that's probably going to be at least 300. But listen, there's many of you out there that are sitting there and saying, hey, I don't think I can justify 300 of my users needing this right out of the gate. Well, that's something you're going to have to talk about with Microsoft as you negotiate with them. On a side note here, we do work with some of the smaller organizations out there as well, kind of the SMB and middle kind of market. This is for you. Microsoft originally said it was going to be available, Copilot for Microsoft 365. It was going to be available for business standard and business premium customers as well. So you didn't have to be E3 or E5. As I thought about that, I thought that was interesting. Okay, that's nice. But here's the thing. I mentioned those product terms in December. Well, lo and behold, they determined and they changed their minds. Those are no longer available. So in other words, they determined that Copilot for Microsoft 365 is not probably exactly ready for those smaller customers. They probably figured out that like starting with larger companies will allow them the best opportunity for success, Microsoft and the enterprise, right? Because large companies likely have a better handle on their data, right? Better data, which is going to be driving a lot of the value of Copilot. It also allows training on this better data set. And then also, they need to figure out, right, can we handle the workloads in their data centers, or our data centers, or Microsoft, right? So this is an important part to the equation. I do expect that, you know, in time, Microsoft is going to roll out or bring back the ability for customers that have business standard or business premium versus E3 and E5. I do think they're going to do that. Of course they will. But it is interesting that they effectively change their mind there.
Yeah, Adam, I'm going to be a little bit of a devil's advocate here because I know you throw out some big numbers, you know, the $30 a month, et cetera, on that, and it's going to be expensive. And that's probably a true statement, but I'll play devil's advocate and I'll play Microsoft for a second, right? You know, I just did some calculations on the back of the envelope and said, okay, if I were to have 500 users at $30 a user, if my math is correct, it comes out to about $180,000 a year. Just playing the number on that, right? And if I said the average salaried employee, fully loaded cost at an organization is $100,000 a year, then I'm looking at that saying, well, that would mean that I would have to get less than 0.5% productivity output in total, right, across that organization. And if you look at some of the productivity numbers that you see within the market, that I should easily be able to get 5 to 10% productivity. To me, that's a no-brainer then. Right. So is it really expensive when you think about context?
Yeah, John. This is why I told you I love having my discussions with you, because I could tell you were running that math in your head and thinking that way. And that's literally the pitch that Microsoft makes. And it's a good one. It's a valid one. Of course it is. Because there's integrity behind it. Right. And anytime a vendor can come with that, you know, it helps the sales cycle, and they're definitely putting that in their PowerPoints. They're definitely spending a lot of time positioning it that way. The thing I would tell you is that there's still an element in talking to CIOs and talking to IT executives, and as well as line of business, quite honestly, you know, there's still a little bit of a, okay, I get it, but I haven't felt it or seen it. So what I'm asking you, Microsoft, is to think about it. And from my shoes, I'm also thinking about it from a us coming up with the budget, even if the story is there. If you want me to move, Microsoft, and I know it's of value to you, Microsoft, and it could be of value to us for all the reasons you just identified, John, I just need you to do something. I need you to do something, because if I get to up immediate math world, it just still feels very expensive in 2023. And the other thing I would say is that I mentioned additional discounting. Microsoft is very aggressively pushing back on the discounting that they're willing to offer for Copilot. And a lot of it is for all the reasons you just identified. And so the stagecraft, the how you approach, which I'll get to later, how do you approach them becomes the key to the whole thing, because this is a scenario where it's a technology that's exciting and enterprises want. It's coming from a vendor that already has a stronghold within these customers, right? They're using a lot of products already of Microsoft. And there's a story there that has a lot of legitimacy on it. That's a massive amount of leverage that we, helping customers negotiate, have to get them to a place to overcome, and we are doing that.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm glad that you bring up the idea of leverage and how important it is to have that. And I think that was a really fun back and forth, and that's exactly the type of critical thinking that our customers need to be doing, or Microsoft customers need to be doing, as they're thinking about whether or not Copilot is going to fit in their portfolios and how to go about that. And you started to, you know, dive into a little bit of how Microsoft is approaching customers, why they want them to adopt Microsoft 365 Copilot, and why it's so important to them. So if you could just give a brief, you know, synopsis, so it's all in one place, of why this even matters to Microsoft.
You know, this is the thing, and I hate using cliche terms, you know, for anyone who knows me, you know, vendor lock-in, right? They're not stupid. If you add Copilot with the cost profile, with the expectations now set for productivity and efficiency, and let's say you actually start realizing that productivity and efficiency, i.e. the ROI, do you think you're going to move off of it? Are you really going to do that? Like, and where would you go? Or just not going to use it anymore? So they know you are going to become so reliant on it that almost forget about our immediate revenue. When they talk to investors about remaining performance obligation, downstream deferred revenue, that's why they're so bold and the investment community gets so excited. They're like, cool, it's X growth now. They're going to have to renew. They're going to grow. We can hit them with price increases. We can pretty much do whatever we want. Awesome. We're going to get even more revenue later.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's the story of you know, Google competing with Microsoft for the, like, call it the Office products, right? I mean, Google's got a set of products that are out there, but you know, did you see everybody running for the doorway to jump to Google to get on their Office products? I don't think so. It's not going to happen, right? Okay, Adam, can you get into kind of just the, you know, for our customers and just thinking about leverage, right? And contracting, you know, what is it that our customers can expect moving forward, right? And what should they be doing to kind of protect themselves from a contracting point of view?
You need to prepare. You need to get the right internal messaging. You need to get the right people to deliver the message. You need to think about what actual leverage you can create. They're going to want testimonials. They're going to want even more access to your team. Because as I mentioned before, there are other co-pilots coming. Copilot for sales, Copilot for service. That's tied to D365. Are you currently a Salesforce customer? Well, could you dangle an opportunity to become a Dynamics customer? It's things like that that you have to think about, right? You have to be planning ahead. The other thing is, if you use that leverage correctly, it's not just about what you're going to pay for Copilot. It's ensuring you're paying the right cost for your underlying E3 and or E5 SKU. Those are expensive. I highly recommend, especially when we're talking about Copilot and especially talking about E3, E5 renewals or adding it in, I cannot emphasize this enough. You need to give yourself enough time not to just be evaluating Copilot, not to just be thinking about the ROI that's going to come with it. You need to be thinking about, am I getting the value from the things I'm already using and spending significant money on? As granular at a feature level as you can go for E3 or E5, you need to pull that together. You need to give yourself the time to do that, because arming yourself with that data is going to help you create leverage in a very difficult place to create it.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to interrupt, but I'm going to. I think one of the things, you know, on the, I'm going to go back to that $30, you know, a list price on there. And I think you're bringing up a good point in terms of, you know, the discounting opportunities may not be within the Copilot area. They may be on the other areas of your product. Part of me says that $30, a user per month isn't necessarily set on value. Okay. But maybe more set on what I'm going to refer to as demand shaping, right? Because the use of these tools is very, very expensive, right? And the reason it's really expensive is it's high intensity on the backside in terms of the GPUs that are required to drive the AI portion of this. There's a shortage of chips right now in the market to drive that. And if Microsoft were to go out to the market today and say, oh, we're only going to charge $5 a user, right? They may have way too many people signing up for it, and they might not be able to service the marketplace based upon the capacity of AI that's actually available to serve that market space. So the pricing may be more of a factor of, I've got to shape the demand, right? Expect the price to go down in the future. But what you were talking about is the opportunities for reduction may not be in that AI space. They may be in the other product lines.
That's exactly right. And again, listen, they're coming from a position that it's real, right? The chip shortage is there's legitimacy to that. And that's great. And what we always tell our customers to do, we talk about empowering them, is to bring that to the table too. Like, listen, Microsoft, we understand. We get it as much as we possibly can, but I can appreciate what you're telling me. But here's what I know. I spend $10 million a year on the other stuff. So, you know, don't tell me you can't do anything across the board. You just hit the E3 with a 12% increase. Are you telling me you can't bring the 12% increase down? Like, talk to me a little bit more about that. And then to my point, John, the way to achieve even more success or create leverage is if then you can arm yourself with now your story, which is, hey, look, I'm not just doing this from a cost-cutting perspective where we think you can. It's also because I'm looking at those products, the underlying E3, E5, by the way, Power Apps, Power BI, SQL, all the other products. We're looking at those too and saying, hey, I did my analysis and I'm only using 40, 50%. And yes, there's some key components of that, but you have to help me now. If you want me to pay you more, you got to figure something out where you can help me. So let's do this together, because then we all, again, I hate cliches, we can all do win-win.
No, I think you're right, Adam. I think the leverage is going to be, hey, Microsoft, I can help you hit your numbers on AI, and I'm willing to help you out hit your numbers on AI, right? And I'm willing perhaps to pay the pricing that you're putting out there because I recognize that demand, you know, for the services. But if you want me to help you hit your numbers, you're going to have to do something for me on this side.
100%. 100%.
So, all right. Well, I think we're probably close to the end on where we're at with this whole subject of Microsoft AI. You know, I'd really like to thank you, Adam, for taking the time today to jump into that subject for us.
Yeah. Happy to do it. Happy to talk. Happy to have more conversations about it. Always look forward to it, John. And honestly, it is the thing that customers are going to be faced with. And what I just always feel good about is if we gave them something to think about, it should hopefully help. And then I would love to obviously always have follow-up conversations with others that are out there. Because you know, the truth is we really do want customers to have strong relationship with Microsoft. And with for this piece, there really can be win-win outcomes. There really can be.
Yeah. And I definitely will be sure to link that blog post that we have, because I think that will really help supplement this episode and give listeners a even fuller picture of this whole situation and what we know about it and what they can expect moving forward. And we are looking forward to having you on the show in the future to talk about what Copilot for Microsoft 365 looks like 6 months from now, a year from now, and how Microsoft's go forward strategy evolves with that. Cause I think we're going to see a lot of movement on that side.
Let's do it. Looking forward to it.
Well, thank you so much, Adam. And thank you everyone for listening.
Sourcing Enterprise AI is co-hosted by John Belden and Kylie Chisholm and produced by Mike Brown. The podcast is brought to you by Upper Edge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a new episode. For more innovative IT sourcing and risk mitigation insights, subscribe to the Upper Edge newsletter and follow Upper Edge on social media at the links in our episode description. Thank you for listening.